Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast, your geek business guide. I'm going under the capes of bloggers, cosplayers, gamers, and other entrepreneurs to learn how they've built a following around doing what they love. I'm your host, Tim Luty, and today we're going under the cape of San Diego Comic-Con. All right, how's it going, everyone? We have another special episode of Under the Capes. We just got back from San Diego Comic-Con 2017, and I'm here with Rob and Lee, who joined me at the con and are now joining me to talk about it. Guys, thanks for joining.
Oh, happy to be back.
Glad to be here.
So yeah, energy is a little low, at least at least on my end. I flew in, or I got in this morning on the red eye. They were lucky enough to get in last night. But guys, what are your first impressions on the con this year?
Dude, it was sweet. I think we went into it last week for the last podcast on the pre-con. Me and Rob didn't really hit Comic-Con too much last year. It was more of a vacation for us, and this year I think we had the perfect mix. We saw a good amount of off-sites, we did the convention center, and like throughout the whole week it was like a balance of an actual vacation and seeing sites at the con, so I had fun. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, same here. Like you said, it was a good mix of, we did something Comic-Con related every day, but, you know, split our time with the partying, but...
Oh, and actually, we killed two birds with one stone on a couple of those nights, because you, Tim, were actually able to get us into parties that were actually related to the Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's right. Always good, because, like, in years past, like, I know last Wednesday, we were just wandering around, like, with nowhere to go, because we didn't know, like, any of the con-related parties, and it was a Wednesday, so no non-con parties were, like, no bars were doing anything else.
Yeah, that's right. And I actually really enjoyed the Game of Bloggers party. So, that was a good time. It was really cool to go mix it up with the people that you've had the interviews with on your podcast so far.
Yeah, everyone was so nice.
Yeah, Tony Kim through that, so we got to see him. I know we talked to Sully and Steve from the Nerd Foo for a while. They were great. The Hall H guys, awesome. Yep. Awesome time with them.
Yeah, he had that 360 camera for Facebook. That was pretty cool. So we took some pictures with that.
Yeah, he put that up on his Facebook the other day. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet.
Not yet. I'll be sure to go check it out, though.
But yeah, man, that party was pretty sweet. And glad you have some inside info, or actually did actual research this year.
Yeah, because we had more plans for the party. So what was your guys' favorite party?
Sci-fi, by far.
And yep.
I feel like I speak for all of us when I say that.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was that it got so much buzz on Thursday that it was just like crazy packed on Saturday. Because we walked right in on Thursday at like 11:30, and it was insane.
That's gotta be a Thursday to Saturday thing, man.
Yeah, well, you know, Lee and me did say, too, we probably over-promoted the sci-fi party for Saturday. But yeah, that line was crazy. It was around the building and then picked up across the street and extended down through the park. So, I mean, you know, that I asked one of the guys realistically, like, how long is this going to take? He said it would be quite a while, so we decided to leave on Saturday. But when we got in on Thursday, that was an awesome time. They had live music, free drinks. It was great.
Yeah, and Thursday they were doing like a bunch of like free stuff, and Zachary Levi was like up on stage for almost the entire time, just like singing along with the band and like having a good time.
Spasmatics, awesome 80s cover band.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of them before, but they were awesome.
Yeah, they kept the energy. They kept the energy levels up. It was a. I was not expecting that to be on at all. I had no idea what to expect, but that was probably one of the best parties I've ever been to.
Yeah, certainly the best free party I've ever been to. they also had an arcade section, so that was a nice nice touch too. It gave like a little bit of a break, so we spent some time, you know, up there enjoying the music. Then we went and played some games, and then we were out on the deck for a while. It was a nice spot. The venue was just great for it.
Yeah, I gotta send you the photos. But for anyone listening who isn't quite picturing it, they rented. I believe it was the San Diego Children's Museum. So the place was gigantic, and like a huge open floor plan. And perfect for everyone. I think I've spoken to you guys before. Like, I like parties, but I don't like shoulder to shoulder places. And this was like the perfect balance between both. Like, you could walk around freely if you wanted to, or you could just be right at the band and just be in it, be like fully in the whole place's energy or whatever.
Yeah, like they packed tight around the stage and everything, but there was more than enough room.
Yeah, I didn't even feel packed when I was in the crowd. Like, I had a lot of fun there. Yeah. Three free drinks from Sci-Fi also helps, but you know.
And yeah, not loving the crowds and the crowding is a tough thing to deal with at Comic-Con.
Yeah, but Sci-Fi got it right, so kudos to them.
Yeah. What, speaking of other things that got it right, what was your guys' favorite offsite?
I'd say Game of Thrones. The only other real offsite that I think we did, and maybe Lee remembers something that I don't, but I think the only other one was the Dixie Pig.
We did, we caught a couple offsites.
Like, oh, that's true.
I don't want to say accidentally, but like we walked into like, we saw the Inhumans preview, which was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that show, I think we spoke about it. I think the three of us were kind of on the fence about it. And after seeing their preview clips in IMAX, which, by the way, it was just an IMAX pop-up theater, which I had no idea they could do.
Sweet setup. That was interesting. Yeah, the way they did that.
Yeah.
It was
so
cool.
So after seeing those four clips, there was I think I'd actually see the IMAX open for the first two episodes.
Nice. I got you there with me.
Oh, we doing this?
Oh, we're doing it.
And
I was going either way, but yeah, I'm glad you're there.
Yeah, Game of Thrones was really cool. I mean, it just kind of sucks that no matter where you go, it's going to be lines. But the reason why there's so many lines is because all the events are pretty awesome. But me and Rob have you, and you. I think you were like a trooper the entire weekend. Just staked your claim at like 3 a.m. every night.
I mean, you have to. Yeah, if you're.
Yeah.
To waste the time if you're not in line somewhere.
But I really wish we hit Westworld. So if they ever have that again, I am okay to go in shifts, and I'll take like the first shift at like 10 o'clock 5 days prior.
Yeah, we had no chance at making that one. You know, I think they capped out at the 100 5 p.m. the day before. So
yeah, that's crazy. And it sounds like that was the best.
Right, we weren't even free. We all had stuff going on then anyway.
Yeah, you get a free cowboy hat, and they just pry you with alcohol. And I think the cast was there just hanging out.
Awesome. Yeah, the on Sunday we ended up doing the Blade Runner experience.
I hate you. I wanted to do that.
It was a good time. They also supplied you with alcohol. So hopefully that's a trend that keeps going.
Yeah, did you have a nice Sunday fun day then?
Yeah, I mean, we had a few drinks there, and then kind of, headed to lunch and did our thing. But yeah, it was a good start to the afternoon.
It is. Yeah, it is cool that they kind of give you alcohol. I'm not saying that as kind of like the biggest party guy, but like they clearly appreciate the people waiting in line to get into their panels or their offsites, which I feel is really nice to see.
Yeah, and you got to know that's a sure thing, crowd pleaser.
Yeah, that's easy.
Like, especially, it seems like it's the last thing that they give you on all the panels, so you come out just like, best ever.
Like, timed it just right.
That's right.
You know, I didn't even know they were doing it, but I didn't do the research. I'm pretty sad we missed the Nickelodeon one, because apparently they dropped some bombs for news this week.
Oh, all the panels?
All the panels, like the Nickelodeon movies that are coming. Mm-hmm. I think they show trailers for Rocko's Modern Life and Hey Arnold. And I don't know if it was nostalgia or just the show's aged really well. First of all, did you guys see either of the trailers? I know you're not really too big into cartoons.
I haven't watched them yet. I got to go check those out.
They brought Rocko's Modern Life into the 21st century, it seems. And it looks like a pretty clear and easy transition for them. And the Hey Arnold one was pretty nostalgic because they had every drawn character ever on his rooftop just talking about how good Arnold was. And I think he's finally seeing his parents.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dropping some serious bones.
Yeah. It was an emotional one. You'll like it.
I can't relate on this one. I never watched Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh, man. You would have loved it, Rob.
Right up your alley. Yeah, so, probably. So this is going to be a loaded question for you guys, but what was your favorite panel?
What was our favorite panel? That's a great question. Did we see a panel?
No.
I didn't think so.
I know it sounds bad, but I just want to stress to everyone listening, we still had a good balance between Comic-Con stuff and vacation time.
Well, we had our other stuff going on too. We also played in a Magic tournament each day. But
yeah, Tim,
let's turn that around on you, Tim. What was your favorite panel?
Oh man, there were some great ones.
Do top three.
Yeah, so in terms of like footage, Kingsman was really good because I think a lot of people from going to Fox were like really hoping for some Deadpool 2 stuff, and I was too. But when they like the amount of Kingsman footage they dropped and like how good it was, like that really made up for it. Like that movie's gonna be awesome.
All right, and then.
I mean, Marvel won the footage game completely. Like, they dropped a Thor clip and trailer, a Black Panther clip and trailer, stuff from Ant-Man, and then the Infinity War trailer was...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are they doing Ant-Man 2?
Yeah, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, right. I completely forgot about that. And they showed Infinity Wars, huh?
Oh, the trailer, yeah. Oh. Yeah, so the whole Marvel panel started with... Paul Rudd and Michael Pena, just like sitting there explaining the Marvel universe to date, like, and they were doing it like really poorly. Like they'd be like, so there's this like billionaire guy, Robert Downey Jr. And they'd hold up a picture of him like from 30 years ago. And then they'd be like, and then he's recruited by Nick Fury, and they hold up a picture of David Hasselhoff.
I forgot he did a Nick Fury movie.
Yeah. So they like cut that with clips of like the whole like Marvel universe to date, and like they're going through it like, oh, and then there's this like Loki comes in like big bad like that. And like they're just wicked jazzed, and then they're like, so that's what you can look forward to by joining, and it spins around, and Michelle Pfeiffer is announced as Janet Van Dyne.
Oh, jeez, really?
And she's like, Jesus, so it sounds like a real sausage fest. And then Evangeline Lilly, Hope Van Dyne comes in. It's like, that's what we're hoping you can help us with.
That sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was great. And then
what day was that before?
That was Saturday.
Okay. I got something. I'm going to commit to Saturday next year, I promise.
Nice.
He says that, but I'll have to remind him that is the Beer Fest day.
You know what? After what we'll get into it later, but Rob and I didn't have as good of a time this year.
No, yeah, they kind about, of. We can talk about that. Yeah. So it started out really good. We paid. I don't know. We paid for like early access tickets. So
$55, which isn't that bad. 2 hours of free drinking or whatever.
Right. So we did a complete lap around, tried all the beer. Then we went back and started hitting the ones that we really liked. Lee and I also entered a contest to win a trip for two to Napa Valley.
Oh yeah, couples trip.
Yep, that's right, couples trip. So that was a good time. So what really killed it was they had another DJ from 4 to 6. It wasn't even Hodor, so Hodor didn't even come on until 6 p.m. And by that time, a lot of the people that had gone there for the early access to do the unlimited drinking, like, those people actually started to clear out a little bit. So it actually got a little less crowded, and it was a lot less of a rave than what we experienced last year when we saw it at Omnia. It wasn't quite the same because the rave itself wasn't as good, and it kind of really just interfered with the beer fest.
If you're going to a beer fest, you don't want to be jumping up and down listening to house music for a while. Like, I can understand, like, that's why the rave of Thrones at Omnia last year was awesome, just because it was a packed club and everyone knew what they were getting into. At, like, a beer fest, it was just such a sudden shift in mood that, like, it didn't really work out. And plus, like, at that point, even all the brewers basically just packed up and went, so, like, even the atmosphere of Brewfest was gone.
Like, yeah, that's right.
There were
right.
only, like, two big tents serving beer and wine.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't sure how a rave was going to do, like, during the day.
No, they should, ask the guy whose idea it was to change it up, because the year before when we went, when it was just 4 hours and it was a beer fest, but it was also, like, a costume contest, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, what they should have done is 2 to 6 drinking for, like, the beer fest. And then if you want to go to the Rave of Thrones, then some sort of combined ticket. And then have the rave start at, like, 8 or 9. You know, like, give yourselves that break to get cleaned up and get ready for the actual rave. And just treat them as 2 separate events. But, if you want to put them in the same venue, that's fine. And, like, sell combined tickets, then go for it. But kind of, like, I think they just needed to break it up.
Plus, no one really announced he was there. Like, all of a sudden, he just showed up, and no one knew what was going on. Like, me, Ron,
right?
My friend,
yeah,
Alex,
like,
already had a few drinks in us, so we didn't notice. But I swear, no one ever announced. No, like, there wasn't a hype man, Tim, and apparently, hype men are very important.
Unless we missed it, and I can't imagine we did. We weren't that far from the stage, and all of a sudden just kind of like you can sense like a change in the music. So we like looked over, and all of a sudden Hodor was behind the DJ booth instead of the other guy they had on before.
Yeah, especially when it's like going to be that jarring of a tone change. You got to kind of
set it up
a little bit.
Beer Fest, that was just right. playing like regular music, and then all of a sudden like snap of the finger, rave, or a failed rave. Anyway, Tim.
But we,
Oh,
sorry. I was just gonna say we salvaged the night. We went to Mission Brewery afterwards, and then
Whiskey
Girl.
The rest of the town that night. Anyway, Tim. Back to Comic Con stuff, because I think we interrupted you right in the middle of your Netflix or your Marvel panel.
The other panel that was really awesome was the Supernatural one.
Oh, geez, really?
Oh man, was it cool! So they had Kansas open it with a live playing of Carry On My Wayward Son.
All right.
And,
keep going.
And then a character died at the season finale. I won't tell anyone who.
But that person
was not there. So then he ends up dragging a chair, like a tiny little lawn chair, out from behind the stage and like coming out like, "No, everybody, like, I'll have a part to play this year." And Sam and Dean are like, "Yeah, you know, like craft services and that kind of thing."
So they're just like crapping on this guy.
And then, yeah, like the entire like rest of the panel was them just shitting on him. Like, this crappy acting is why you got fired. Like, you know,
oh, wow.
Like they would never, they just like merciless. Didn't let it drop the whole time.
I got to finish this new season. I don't know what happened, but I think I just stopped watching Super. I think it's when Hulu stopped putting up new episodes of it every day. And then I had to watch all 3 seasons of, like, Supernatural, Arrow, and Flash all at once. And it just was overwhelming.
I mean, I love doing that. I ended up finishing the season finale. Thank God I did, in line for Hall H, because I was one episode shy when I tried to watch it all last week.
Man, that was cool.
I watched it on my phone, and it was full of spoilers.
Anything else cool? Any other cool panels?
So that kind of brings us to news from the con. So, a lot of the panels dropped a lot of big news. I don't know if you guys have heard any of it.
I mean,
just what you've told us.
Yeah.
So did you hear that Captain Marvel is going to be set in the 90s? Samuel L. Jackson will be in it.
No, I didn't know they were doing Captain Marvel.
And the villain will be the Skrulls.
Really?
Yeah.
So if it's set in the 90s, there won't be, like, none of the new people will be there, right? Like, none of the Avengers will be there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. I like that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, I wonder why they're planning on setting it in the 90s and then, like, how she'll kind of head into the present day.
That sounds pretty cool.
And it also, like, if the Skrulls have been around for the past 30 years...
Who else could be a Skrull?
Right? Sets up Secret Invasion quite nicely.
I do like that.
Oh, that's true.
Maybe Iron Fist will be a Skrull, and we can just forget about that show later.
Well, they actually, during the Netflix panel, they announced we're getting Iron Fist Season 2.
No.
Which I'm hopeful for.
It's not the same showrunner, is it?
No, he moved on to another property that you're going to pay to go see.
Yeah, Inhumans, right, you said? Tim, I changed my mind on Inhumans. I can't keep giving that guy money. Like, it's out of principle.
I think this will be the first time.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm going to say my Netflix subscription goes to his paycheck.
That's true. And your Showtime subscription.
Yeah, my Showtime subscription went to him for Dexter. And,
yep.
All right.
He's got you.
He does. And the IMAX thing was cool. I mean, back to focus. Everyone's already heard that we already shit on that guy enough. Well, not enough, but we already shit on that guy, like, enough for a podcast.
That's all we're going to afford.
Yeah.
The other piece of news, I'm not sure how I feel about it. The Flash movie has been delayed for a while.
Yeah.
And they announced that they're going to be doing the Flashpoint Paradox.
They're just diving right in, huh?
Yeah, like it's kind of way too early, right?
Yeah, I mean, gave us one movie, but like, their DC is kind of giving up on a lot of backstory, right?
Yeah, like they're diving into everything like midway through, and
I'm not gonna lie to him. I kind of appreciate the move.
I guess, but it doesn't seem like they have a plan.
But Flashpoint is a little too ambitious. So you're right.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how I'll like the Flash movie anyway. I don't know that I really care for the way he's being portrayed in Justice League so far. So we'll see.
He was pretty funny in the trailer they released Saturday. Did you see that?
No,
I haven't seen that.
I've caught a lot of. Yeah, watching a lot of movie trailers, but I haven't touched any of the DC stuff.
Yeah, their panel overall didn't offer a whole lot of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
They showed a clip from Aquaman, which, based on Jason Momoa, that could be the one that keeps him going after Wonder Woman.
Really? I just never thought Aquaman, sweet. You know?
Not even after Entourage?
Remember when they were going to show the cool part, the heat index got too high and the movie theater shut down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever since then, it was just the biggest Caesar. Because I didn't even know what Aquaman could or couldn't do. All I knew, he could talk to fish.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, Jason Momoa was like, he brought his trident up on stage. He was playing it like a guitar. He was, after the Justice League trailer, he was so jazzed. He was like smashing the chair he was sitting on.
Nice.
Oh, he had to bring him out a new one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he literally, like, rocker smashed it, and they had to, like, he was just like, oh, I'm sitting on the ground now, and they brought him out a new one. And so the clip showed, like, an underwater army, like, traveling.
Oh, okay.
And someone was like, so, based on that clip, is that Black Manta's army?
Black Manta. And I would be down with Black Manta.
That would be cool, but it's not him, because Jason Momoa was just like, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, but nope, that's Ocean Master's army.
Okay. I don't know too much about the Aquaman lore, but I mean, if that's what he said, it sounds like he's better than Black Manta, or at least like way more.
Apparently that's his Aquaman's brother.
Huh. Okay. So I really don't know too much about the Aquaman. Yeah. Okay. I'm with it though. I was kind of hoping Black Manta because he's hilarious in a terrible way. But yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
But you said the movie looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean they showed a really like small clip from it, so they showed some concept art too, I believe, and that looked pretty cool. But yeah, they're still like midway through it. He was the only one who came because they're all like in Australia actively filming.
Ah, oh, so the title character just gets to go.
Yeah,
and that's pretty sweet. Hype, man.
But yeah, so in general, what would you guys change for next year? I mean, obviously we're going back no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much going to Comic-Con until the day I die, or until I don't get a ticket.
Yep. Well, even then,
No, I meant like I'll go to the convention. I'm gonna definitely do offsites no matter what.
Yeah.
And I could just be talking because I'm like high off of Comic-Con now. I really do want to go to the Westworld panel next year if they have one. Mm. Or whatever panel is like, because we heard about that one like Thursday, like the first day at Comic-Con. So we knew it was going to be sweet. So like maybe next year, whatever one that we hear is going to be like the best one. Like I'm willing to camp out there real early if we have enough people for shifts.
Yeah, that's the tough part is you don't really hear which one is going to be like the one you got to hit until the con's already going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to do your recon.
Because the press gets in, the press gets tours of them earlier in the week, like I think Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and but they're gonna say like every single one of them is awesome. Like,
yeah,
right.
I want some press guy that doesn't care about getting invited back or not, and he just spits the truth.
But yeah, what we should do possibly is just Pick which day we're going to do one of those offsites, and just we'll go camp out at like five or six of them and then just wait until we know which one's the best one and then go all in on that one.
Honestly, if we coordinate with some people, because I think a lot of our crew didn't go this year because just we did so much traveling. But next year, if we have people, I don't doubt that at least a few of them will chip in, even if they don't plan on going in. Actually, no, they would probably go anyway to the offsite. I think a few of them would at least chip in to do a shift of like four or five hours or so, you know?
Yeah, and I think we had some great line friends this year that made waiting for Hall H on Saturday a little bit easier.
I was actually going to shout them out later, but yeah, we'll just talk about them. You always need friends if you're going to go to Comic-Con and the easiest way to do it is make line friends.
Yep. Yeah, because Drew, Sushi, Steve, we made friends with them a couple years ago in line, and then got to be better friends with them this year in line. So that was great. Great waiting with you guys.
I mean, me and Rob only saw you for like 5 minutes, but it was nice to reconnect for a bit. Hopefully we'll see you in line next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I would change, for next year, we did a lot of waiting in lines that were like moving, or like, you know, like you'd camp out overnight and then you get rid of all your camping gear and then you have 3 hours of like slowly moving through line. So I'd probably want to bring a seat next year, like one of those little mini camp seats.
The mini stools?
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, you're the guy that does all the research. I'll just take your lead.
Yeah, and I gotta find out. I'll put a link in the show notes, but one of our other line friends, David, actually designed one of those stools. I gotta look into that. He's doing something similar to a Kickstarter. So I'll link to that, and I'll probably end up having one of those next year.
That'd be pretty cool. Maybe he'll give you a free one for the marketing. Just a hint, you know, Dave, if you're out there listening. But yeah, should we? You think we have time for like a 5 minute thing of me and Rob's Shadowrun expedition and in the magic tournaments?
Yeah, so how'd you guys do in the Magic tournaments this year?
Your very first year. All right, man.
I just want to lead with this.
We won our first game.
We won our first game.
Yeah. We weren't our first game, actually. Yeah.
Enough said. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
So what happened to your second game?
So the second game, you know, the economy and like the way politics are and Lee, what do you got for us?
Pluto's not a planet anymore. That really
Pluto is not even a planet anymore.
Yeah. No, me and Rob found out the difference between casual play and semi-competitive play. Everyone there
less so in the limited tournament.
Our very first go at it was a two-headed giant where you have a teammate and you can plan each other out. It's four players, but you have a teammate. Obviously, me and Rob were partners, and you can plan your moves. And it was cool because it was a super strategizing kind of way for double the opponents. And the very first people we played, by the way, I'll just preface it with this, everyone we met there, awesome people, super nice, and they were very helpful because they could sense that me and Rob weren't too familiar with competitive play. But the first two people we won against, then the second one we played against, one of the guys does like Magic Grand Prix all over the country, so he's like kind of a semi-pro player, and it showed. Then this isn't going to sound good no matter how we say it, so I'll just say it straight up. We lost to 2 12-year-olds in the third game.
But they were really nice kids, though, and we had a good game with them.
You guys were at your peak.
To be fair, we legitimately had a great game because it took almost the entire time limit, and the reason why it went so long is because every move we did, they countered, and every move they did, we countered, and it just ended up being like a war of attrition that we eventually ran out of steam. Like, we lost the game a minute before the next round started, so I think that was cool. And the fourth one, it was against a comic shop owner and another Grand Prix player who I'm pretty sure if telepathy exists, they're the example of it because I don't think they spoke any words to each other when they were playing their moves, Rob.
Well, they definitely were speaking words, but they weren't. They were being very very vague about what they were saying to each other.
The guy would show her his hand and be like, "Hey, this, that, them," and then she'd just nod, and then like all of a sudden, all our guys are gone.
Yeah, they had really good decks. They had three gods that they pulled between them. Two of them in the same pack. He got a pack where he got a mythic rare god as his card. And then, sometimes they put holographic the holographic cards in. And so he got like a holographic mythic rare as well. And they both happen to be god cards. So, you could say that they pulled pretty well.
Yeah. So based on the experience, are you guys going to be doing some tournaments next year?
Definitely. Oh, absolutely.
That's when the
Shadow Realm. We had a lot of fun.
That's when I'm going to bring a shirt that says the Shadow Realm Experience. I'll bring a Polaroid and a pre-made card. That's when we start crushing people and we give them their own card.
Oh, man. I think we can do that.
So then on Friday, we were at the Game of Thrones Experience, which was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that one because they let us do like a lot of our own thing. And then they were really cool about, you know, they're going to send us like the videos and pictures and stuff. So it was good that they did all that. But that sucked up our time slot for the two-headed giant. We were going to go back and do the same thing again. So what we decided to do was grab our modern decks and go try our hand at modern. And we went into this knowing like, you know, our decks, we really do it more for casual play. So we knew we weren't expecting to perform well. We each of us went 1-3. Lee won his second game, so he got that weight lifted off his shoulders. I went all the way to my fourth game before I finally won. So,
Tim, at this point in the fourth round, only six people out of like 50 hadn't won a single game, and I was getting ready to laugh at Rob.
Yeah, you gotta get one under your belt.
You can put us on the board because, like I said, we won our first game.
Yeah.
And then we each won a game in our modern tournament. So, you know, we weren't the best, but hey, we weren't the worst.
Sitting at 250 right now.
That's right. So awesome moment after that, I was going to cash in my tickets, and Lee comes over while I'm talking to one of these guys about one of my other decks that, you know, talking about some cards I'd like to put into it. And so we're like we're in deep in this, and Lee comes over, you know, urgently. Like, there's definitely a sense of urgency in his voice. Rob, you got to come with me real quick, man. Like, just for a minute. Like it's an emergency. Like, he could see that we were like unconvinced at first, but then I was like, all right, man, all right, what is it? So I went into the other room with him, and he goes, Mark Rosewater's here talking to the players. And so Mark Rosewater has another podcast, the Drive to Work podcast.
Say who Mark Rosewater is.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Okay. So he has his own podcast. He's the head designer for Wizards of the Coast for Magic. So it was awesome. So seeing the head of design there, like, it was cool. So I went over and talked to him for a quick second. And Lee got his and mine picture together. And then Lee and me were talking about that. And then apparently Mark was signing cards. So Lee had to do some convincing, because I was very skeptical about having a card signed. I was like, is it going to ruin the card? Is it be legal to play with? So I asked a judge to make sure it would still be legal. And he's like, yeah, man, it's cool. Like, if you want to do it, do it. So I'm glad Lee talked me into it. So I went over and he signed my my first Ugin that I ever got, and I actually was able to trade some cards in for another copy of that card. And it's a real powerful card. It's a really expensive card, but it's one of the first cards that I got when we started playing together again. So it definitely has some special meaning to me, and now that he signed it, it has that much extra.
Really bulking the decks up. Yeah, it was cool getting to run into some celebrities. And we ran into the cast of Inhumans outside their offsite, and I got a selfie with Serenda Swan.
Yeah.
That stuff kind of just came about from, like, I don't know if they announced that ahead of time, but they like put it on Twitter as the doors were opening. And like, we were just kind of on Twitter, like, following the hashtags, and like, stumbled upon it, like, at the right time, and we got there in time. But
we didn't have to wait that long to get into it either, I don't think. Like, maybe an hour.
I think we waited like
eight total.
Maybe less, because we only had to wait like 10 minutes to get into the offsite, and then another 15 to get into the like actual screening. So not bad.
That was good.
And
time.
Yeah, so that would be,
we also saw
Ramsey
my
Bolton. Kind of one tip. Yeah, we saw Ramsey Bolton, we saw Anson Mount, who plays Black Bolt. So that was cool. That's kind of my one tip for people, is just like doing a lot of research ahead of time, and then staying on social media to see what random stuff pops up.
Stay vigilant. I've never seen you on your phone more than at Comic-Con.
I know, right? I hate it.
Like,
but
you are terrible at being on the phone. But yeah, you used it way more than like a teenage girl who just got her first smartphone.
Right. Yeah, I still got to get better at actually posting stuff, but. I'm using it.
I looked at the thing. I'm like, Tim, you didn't really post a lot from Comic-Con yet.
Yeah, I started to more. I did on Thursday some, but yeah, I gotta get better at that.
Well,
and even just taking pictures. So yeah, what are your any tips for everybody about making the most of the con?
Basically, do what you did. Do a ton of research, and I feel at one point me and Rob were probably a little drunk. Maybe you were too, but I feel like you just came back from a panel. I think you just... Oh, no, Rob was passed out, and I was a little drunk, and you were fine. But you're like, Lee, I'm going to make, like, a draft board on on offsites. And we're just going to... And you said, basically, we made a list, and you just went down the list in real life that, like, an hour later, seeing which lines were awful and based on priority of the list. And I feel like that's a really good way to approach things, because there's no shot in hell you'll do everything you want, because sometimes there's just not a chance to. So you just have to keep going to the next best one that you had pre-planned, you know?
Yeah, just kind of pick, list everything you want to do, and then based on lines and based on schedule, pick what you actually can do.
Right, yeah. And just keep it down to, you know, the one or two things that you, like, you know, need to do or want to do that that day.
Yeah, like on Friday, Sarah got in line for ballroom 20, first of the day. She got into the psych panel.
She was so happy. I'm so happy that your sister got to go to that, because I know that, like, made her day.
Yeah, like, I had no idea what a big psych fan she was, and then, like, we get there, and she's, like, she's got, like, a psych necklace and, like, all this stuff. Like,
yeah, I have no idea what the significance of a pineapple is, but, hey, psych fans, they're one of a kind.
And then after the Game of Thrones experience, so my one thing for Friday was to see the Defenders panel. So, like, right after we left Game of Thrones, I got in the Hall H line. And she was kind of like, she was down to see it, but if she missed it, like, it wasn't a big deal for her. So she went back over to Ballroom 20, saw a little bit of the Brave New Warriors panel, saw the Con Man panel, and saw the Gifted panel.
Wow, and numbers then, game.
And then still made it over to the Defenders on time.
Divided so she conquer. Had it.
Yeah, she had a great day there. And yeah, she just, like, she banged out her one thing first of the day, and then she was free to see where the day takes her.
That's pretty sweet. Also, line friends, can't stress it enough, because there's no way, like, the people we met 2 years ago, they were in line for Hall H, I think Thursday, like 10 p.m. or something, right?
Yeah, like, and that's what you got to do this year. The lines were terrible, and I mean, we don't have to go into, like, I'm sure San Diego Comic-Con got put through the ringer about some of the mistakes they made or some of the issues they had this week. But, cool. But yeah, hopefully next year will be better.
Rob, I know you.
But I don't think there's any fixing the lines.
Rob, I know you have a piece of advice, but I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, so I'll just kind of try to hint at it. What advice can you give about costumes and props?
Oh. So when you're, you know, you're making a costume, you want to be able to, you want to make sure you can pee in it. You want to avoid masks. And as I learned this year, if you don't, if a weapon isn't that necessary to you, or you have a costume that you're willing to do that you don't need to do a weapon, then do it, because that weapon line was atrocious this year. A woman actually tried to go as a Viking and she ended up getting heat stroke in line and they had to wheelchair her out of there.
I saw them wheel her in because I was waiting for you, and man, that was, I can't even blame. Yeah, it's not even a free get. It was bound to happen, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It was terrible planning on their part. I've never dealt with the line like that before. I got last year when I brought in a like a foam pistol. They checked me at the door, and that was it, and it was good to go. This year, I probably waited for about an hour in line. And, you know, it doesn't sound that bad, but, well, you know, these are people, like, sun. You know, yeah, this is like 80 to 90 degrees in the sun. And I was in a Punisher vest and tactical pants and tactical boots, and I was sweating pretty bad. And we're talking about people who had full body suits on, and like that woman going there as a Viking warrior. I mean, it just isn't smart.
They added a second weapons check station, but there's got to be...
That was the only weapons check that day?
No, I heard that they added two for the weekend, but maybe not.
Oh, my God. There were only three people working the weapon check line, and I was getting... And they were taking, like, their sweet time doing stuff, too, because I was waiting for Rob. And I'm like, Rob doesn't look that far bad. It will probably be, like, 20 minutes tops. Like, I sincerely hope, not even out of convenience, but that too, but just for, like, people's safety, that they kind of speed things up. I don't know how they will do it, but smarter people than me can figure it out over the course of a year.
Yeah, they got a year to make some improvements on the con in general.
Or portable air conditioners, just cool down the line. Get those misters that NFL people do. Enough money goes into that town.
Yeah.
And I hope they figure it out soon, because I don't know... The cosplay ideas that we were throwing around, or at least I was throwing around and no one was really agreeing to, it kind of requires a lot of guns.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what we do, we're going to be heavily weaponed next year.
Oh, thank God. Tim, how was your cosplay? How do you think it worked out? You looked great, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it went pretty good. Yeah, there's a couple of small things that I want to fix for Boston Comic Con, but yeah, it got me up to the front row of Sci-Fi Live from Comic Con. That was cool. It got me. So they want to like bring the cosplayers up front to kind of like, you know, make it a cooler looking crowd, and they, for one of the promos, they put me right next to Zachary Levi, and I was I just want to say that before they cut that, he was dancing too.
Okay.
So they cut it and he's standing there doing a news report, and I'm doing a little shimmy. But, you know, right before that, we were all staying loose and dancing together. So
it literally looked like you were the only crazy person dancing. It was hilarious.
I mean, at that point, I was.
It was hilarious, though, because you were legit, like, maybe a foot from him.
Yeah, and I had a giant gun, so I couldn't clap or anything. So, like, I had to do something with the body.
Nah, it was pretty fun.
But yeah, otherwise it was nice being not having a helmet. It was nice having at least one arm exposed for ventilation. So yeah.
Oh right, I forgot last year your Deathstroke.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so I got put to the front on Sci-Fi that year too, but we were, oh man, was it hot.
You know what? Back to the line suggestion, they should invite the 501st Legion specifically and just let them in, and they can help with carry the lines through, because apparently that's what they used to do way before. Like the 501st, those cosplayers that do stormtroopers, apparently they used to be line security back in the day.
Well, that would be awesome, but one of the issues they had with the lines was there was so there's like the green shirted volunteers that are official Comic-Con, and then there's
stadium security or whatever, right?
Stadium security. So there's blue shirts, black shirts,
and yellow.
Yellow shirts. And so like at one point they'd like one guy would be like, hey, so like we're just gonna be getting ready to like move you guys up a little bit, and then another guy would be like, all right, we're gonna be moving you guys back to stretch out the line a little bit, like make some room. And then like one guy would be like, all right, we're gonna need you to push like right up against this left side wall. And then another person would be like funneling people down that wall, and it was all over the place.
Have they been getting a lot of flack for the line situation this year?
Oh yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's what they need to hear. Like I haven't been checking the Twitter, but I'm glad like at least they're more than likely aware that they had some issues that weren't ideal this year.
Yeah, apparently the talk back panel, which is like the annual one at the end of the con where they listen to feedback, was someone described it as heated.
Okay, that's probably a nice way of saying it.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully I'm sure they'll get some. I know, so on Saturday they give out, you know, the wristbands guarantee you a spot in line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I apparently there was something where either security gave out too many wristbands or someone was using fake wristbands. But there ended up being about 400 people with wristbands who didn't get in. So Comic-Con,
they're supposed to be capped out like per seat, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's supposed to make sense then.
Right. So they must have given out too many, or something happened. So Comic-Con ended up giving all those people free 2018 badges
for like the whole week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty sweet way of making up to it, but it still sucks that they missed it.
Yeah, that was. I think it was well handled by them, but yeah, they definitely got to do something next year.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure they will. After hearing if half of what I heard was true.
Yeah, but I think all in all, it could be my favorite con of the years. What do you guys think?
It was definitely my favorite.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
The first year, I think we did a little too much, which is cool because I wanted the full Comic-Con experience. Last year, we did the panel and the walk. We did the walkthrough in our costumes, which I thought was cool. But at that point, it was just a vacation the rest of the week because we went there with such a massive group who weren't interested in the con. And this year was like the perfect balance, and it kind of showed. Like me and Rob experienced a lot of off-site stuff too, We got to play Magic. We got to meet a lot of cool people. Like, everyone was super nice. I had a great time.
Yeah, yep. Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome time. Can't wait for 2018. Everything we discussed will be in the show notes at underthecapes.com/episode12. You can give us a follow and a review on iTunes and Stitcher. That would really help out. And you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter at Under the Capes and on Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast. I'm going to try to get better at posting in general and also during the cons, because that was I posted a some, but I could definitely pick the volume up for some of the stuff we saw. Anyway, guys, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
All right, I'll see you before then, but see you at San Diego next year.
Yeah, don't be so sure.
All right.
All right, later, guys.
All right, later, guys.
Bye.